When the right people come together at the right moment, when they care almost as much about winning as they do about each other, they can become the best of the best.
Welcome to the best soccer show, the best soccer show in the whole world.
Go! It's the best soccer show. Jason Davis, Jared Dubois, live on a Monday night, because it's a holiday weekend. Oh, I didn't fade that out the way I wanted it to. Oh, well,
happy birthday, America.
Happy birthday, America, I guess. Is that the technical birth of the country? Independence Day? Is that how we do talk about it like
this
that?
This is a
right?
dangerous category these days. I don't in woke America, I don't know the answer to these questions.
Oh
anymore.
My gosh. Okay. All right. Well, we won't talk about whether or not it's a day of celebration for people who love the country or love the ideas of the country or whatever, who like fireworks.
It's the anniversary of the Declaration of Independence.
That is 100% a fact. And Mr. Jared Dubois, I imagine you had yourself a weekend. I do want to hear about your weekend.
You see the lobsterness in my face right now? Like it's.
Do you not know about sunscreen? They have this stuff. You put it on your face. Keeps
this is with sunscreen.
Okay. All right.
I live on the sun.
That's probably. Although I think Portland was on the surface of the sun this past week. So.
Dude, it was too many days of partying in a row, man. I had happy hour at my house on Friday. I had disc golf Saturday morning, then to a friend's house for like pool volleyball and hang out Saturday night. Sunday, I had my annual pool party at my house, like 50 people at my house in the pool and outside. Then this morning, woke up and played disc golf again. And I had to play soccer tonight. So my body is done. My body is 44 years old and said none of this is okay. With lots of beer and or hot fizzy waters in between.
Okay.
As in Topo Chico.
Okay. All right. So you had yourself a weekend. I had myself a weekend too. For people who followed me on social media, I definitely mentioned this on the show last week that I was going to go to Columbus for the opening of the brand new stadium there in the Arena District of Columbus, Ohio. The first sort of like the, you know, there was already the Save the Crew celebration and the ownership change. They won a championship last year, Jared. But this was sort of like, you know, this was the party to be at if you were talking about the celebration of the Crew. And I wanted to go, and I've made some friends in Columbus over the past couple years. So I lined some things up, and some people invited me out, and things got taken care of. And I was going as a fan. This was not, by any stretch of the imagination, me going in.
So you're officially a fan of the Columbus Crew. We can put that on the board?
No, I'm a fan of American soccer, Jared. I like American soccer things. I wanted to go experience
an American stand soccer and team.
Look, I will tell you that they did their best to recruit me, but let me tell you the story, because this is the... It's not just about the game and the stadium, and we'll get to that. It's about everything that led up to that. So I decided, and before I actually knew what my work schedule was going to be, I thought I'd like to be doing radio in Columbus on Friday. And because of that, because I don't want to arrive the same day that I have to set up a show that starts at noon, that's kind of too close. You know, the earliest you can get a flight is maybe 8 o'clock. Well, what time you get there?
Because you have a radio show.
I do. Did you know about the radio show, or were you?
I mean, obviously, I did. You didn't. You didn't mention it. You never miss a chance.
I'm trying to find. I want to do this for Nikki Soup and Salad because he gets so upset with me if I don't put the.
Your board is so deep at this point. You don't know where your stuff is.
This is not one I use on a regular basis, and I think that's probably what it is. So we'll maybe come back to WNBC and everything that goes with that. Because I didn't know if I was going to work on Friday, I originally booked a trip to leave on Thursday night. Thought, okay, fine, I get there, I'll have some time in the morning. Turns out I wasn't going to work, but I still ended up going on Thursday. My flight was supposed to leave at 9 p.m. from Washington Reagan National Airport, otherwise known as DCA. I get to the airport, plenty of time. My wife, who works in the airport industry area for the government, said, you probably should go early just in case. I ended up with too much time on my hands, so it's one of those deals where now you get some time to kill at the airport.
So it's whiskey time.
You're not a good flyer in general, but yes, whiskey time is definitely the move. There are thunderstorms up and down the East Coast, so everybody is freaking out. There are people who have been delayed hours. The terminal it's a brand new terminal at DCA, this one that I was in, absolutely jam-packed, crazy. I get to my plane. My plane has no problems. Doesn't say delayed. Doesn't say I'm going to have any issues getting into Columbus. Only an hour flight. Feeling pretty good about my situation. I see that somebody I know that works in soccer or is actually has a thing she does in soccer. She tells me that she's driving to Columbus, Ohio instead of... Or she actually posts this on her social, and I'm like, oh.
So you have a chance for a plane, trains, and automobile kind of thing here if you want it?
Well, she... So what I find out is that she was leaving from DCA. She had a flight scheduled. Once she found out her flight was canceled, she just decided to drive. It's a six-hour drive from DC to Columbus. And I recognized at one point, I get on the plane. Everything's fine to that point, but I get on the plane. We're just sitting there on the tarmac. We end up getting sort of hit by a squall. I mean, it's not, I don't know what a squall. What is a squall?
Is that a bird?
Do you know what squall is? What's squally? Yes. Okay, do you know what? Okay, so we hit by something, right? It's a stormy night in DC. Again, I was surprised my flight wasn't delayed because of the storms. All day long, I'm getting updates on my phone. Flash flood warning, thunderstorm warning. And this happens in the summertime. Okay. But I'm on the plane. I'm a headphone guy on the plane. As soon as I get on the plane, headphones go on.
You're a professional. Always got your cans.
So I like many kinds of cans, Jared. It doesn't really matter. Mm. The can arena is my playground. They are doing the safety announcement. I'm wearing my headphones, kind of half paying attention to what's going on. I feel the plane do one of these, a little bit back and forth. You know, that's not normally, unless you're in the air, you don't usually feel the plane do a wobble.
So you got ground turbulence.
Something wild, right? But I don't really take notice of what's happening. Next thing I know, the captain is on the PA, and he's like, ladies and gentlemen, it looks like we may have been hit by something as we were taxiing out to the runway. We think it was maybe a chalk or something. And we're going to need somebody to come out and inspect the plane before we can take off. Like, well, that's not good.
Which is both nerve-wracking and good. You got a guy that's doing the professional thing.
Understand that this needs to happen. Don't want to be up in a plane that's got some damage. And this is the regional jet. We're talking four seats across. It's not a big plane, right?
Yeah.
And we sit there for a little while, and I'm thinking, okay, well, I start to see police cars on my side of the plane. Just police cars. So I see a couple
of them. Frank Abernathy kind of situation here. Catch me if you can. Someone just came out the bottom of the plane.
I'm on the non-terminal side of the plane. I can't see the terminal from my side. The terminal is on the other side of the plane. But I don't know what's going on. A couple minutes later, or maybe even longer than that, because we were sitting there for a while, captain comes back and then goes, ladies and gentlemen, it looks like we're going to have to taxi back to the terminal. Updates coming. It looks like we've been hit by something, and we're not going to be leaving. Like, oh, well, yeah, that's bad. Okay, what happened to this plane? A little while later, we're going to need to get some stairs out here and have you deplane on the tarmac, and we'll get you a bus back to the terminal.
And I'm like, could they go back to like there's no spot for you to go actual back to the terminal itself?
Hold on, wait a second. So I don't know. This makes no sense to me. At first, we're like, people on the other side of the plane, like, maybe they got to find somebody to tow us back and blah, blah, blah. A little bit later, ladies and gentlemen, they don't have any stairs available right now. So we're going to be here for a while. And
we're going to hit the slide, the inflatable slide. You're just going to slide out of the plane.
I thought at one point it might happen. Eventually, stairs do show up, and we're told, okay, you're going to...
Because that's like old technology, right? Like, no one has the stairs anymore. No one uses the stairs anymore.
Well, this is an airport that is not the biggest, so they do a lot of regional stuff in addition to some other flights, and so you will occasionally get on a plane from the tarmac, from certain gates. They used to have
You had to walk out in the middle of the squall itself?
Oh, yeah. We walk out, so we have to go out the tiny door. This isn't the big jetway door. This is the tiny door. You duck. It feels like you're in a disaster flick. As soon as we get outside the plane, grab all your stuff. Oh, and by the way, I forgot to mention that the dummy that I am, having not really traveled for a year and a half, decided to gate check my bag before I got on the plane to speed up the boarding process. I thought I was being a nice guy.
Oh, you did the volunteer thing.
I volunteered my bag. We'll come back to that. That is important information. We get off the plane, little duck down to make sure. And there are fire trucks and police cars everywhere. It's raining. There are floodlights. There are people in uniforms. There are like the cops wearing the ponchos. You know how like...
Does someone not wear a mask?
So we get off the plane. There was an Instagram story that I posted. It looks like I'm in a disaster movie. I swear, it looks like my plane has crashed and I'm in major danger, but we're just walking. Turns out the terminal is not far. It's maybe a 30-second walk. I don't know why they were talking about buses. We get up to we go up the stairs to get to the terminal level. Nobody tells us anything. Nobody's like, yeah, everybody go this way. We're going to get you set up with a new flight or if you need to, if you missed something, we're going to get you taken. Nobody says anything. This is American Airlines. Okay. Nobody says anything. Don't know what's going on. Everybody goes
dropping names.
Immediately. Hey, why not? You go immediately to the customer service line, not the counter, because the counter's not in sight. The line is all the way back through the terminal because people are all messed up. We're standing there for a little while. Somebody's like, I'm going to go check and see what's going on. This guy runs. We all started getting text messages, new time and new gates. But there were like four of them in a row with different times and different gates. So we had no idea what was going on. The guy finally goes. This guy just randomly decides, hey, watch my bag. Runs to the gate, comes back and says.
That's the dude. You don't want to watch some dude's bag in the airport.
It was kind of not a great idea. It was not a great thing, but we were all kind of flustered. He comes back and he says, yeah, I heard some people say that a plane is coming to this gate for us. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not standing in a customer service line that's not going to get me there anytime soon. I'm going to follow this guy. Again, it's chaos at the gate. We finally find out that, yes, there's a plane that's coming and it's going to be our plane. We're about to get on it. And I see this other person who also gate checked their bag. Go up to the counter attendant and say, hey, what about our bags? And the counter attendant, what do you think the counter attendant said?
We got it all taken care of.
Of course they did. Of course that person said.
It'll be there waiting for you.
It's going to be on the plane. Don't worry. We're going to take care of it. We get on that plane. By the way, at this point, it is probably 1 o'clock in the morning, almost 1 o'clock in the morning, by the time we get on the second plane and the second plane takes off. So that flight is uneventful. Everything goes fine. We get to Columbus. It's now 2 a.m., right? I'm just dusty.
Wait, this is only an hour flight?
It's only an hour flight. It's only an hour flight.
Yeah, you should have carpooled with that chick.
We get to Columbus, and I am just toast already. Now, I'm not necessarily angry about the plane. Oh, I didn't explain exactly what happened. That's the part I missed. So the disaster flight thing, the plane was hit by a luggage cart with a conveyor belt on the back. Like, literally, okay. The storm blew this cart, and apparently some dude jumped out of the cart as it was about to hit the plane. I didn't notice that this happened. It wedged itself under one of the engines. So there's a picture some guy got that was on this plane. He was showing it to everybody, like, hey, look what happened to our plane. Look what happened to our plane. And it was the cart wedged under the engine of the plane. So definitely weren't going anywhere. Get to Columbus. Baggage carousel 6, they tell us. Come out, and it's deserted the airport because of how late it is. In fact, I think some of the airport staff was like, what's happening? Why is there a plane here at this time of night? Because Columbus isn't a big airport either. We go down to the baggage carousel. I see that it's not moving. Now, I'm thinking, okay, maybe it's going to take a little time to get the bags off the plane, right? We literally just got off the plane. It's not moving, but there are four bags sitting on the carousel, just kind of like lonely bags by themselves sitting there. I'm like, oh, that's weird. It's not moving.
Well, it is
2 bags.
In the morning.
We walk over to where there's an office and a lady in an office and a line out the door. And I see this guy and he's saying something about bags. I'm like, what did you say? And he's like, those are the four bags that were on the plane. Just those four bags.
Just those four?
That's when I was like the thermometer in the cartoon, like it just popped out.
Okay, so let me play a game with you. Let me guess one of the articles of clothing you brought to Columbus.
You want to guess what I was wearing at the time or what
no,
I had
no,
with
no.
me?
No, I want to guess something that was in your in your suitcase.
Oh, you want to guess what was in my suitcase. Okay, yes.
I have an idea, okay? Because I know how Jason Davis thinks. He's going to Columbus.
Uh-huh.
He's going to be around a lot of soccer nerds. He's got to have something that's going to be an inside joke in Columbus. You had your Master Shake shirt / jersey in that bag.
Yeah, I did have that bag. I did have that in my bag.
Okay, I know. Yeah. I know you, buddy.
I didn't know necessarily if he was going to wear it, but I did have it. Okay, I want to speed this up. We got other things to take care of. I just want to finish this story.
Yeah, can you talk about the soccer part of this story?
The bag was not there. It ends up being another day. They said, oh, yeah, in the morning.
So you didn't have underwear, right? I was right. You didn't have any underwear?
I had no underwear. I was wearing
a
Sacramento Republic jersey. I rocked that jersey for a day and a half. I was rocking this.
Your hometown.
Not the same underwear. I did obviously buy underwear eventually. I bought socks. I had one pair of socks.
You didn't have to buy underwear. You don't need that underwear, dude. You could have saved yourself $30, dude. Just go commando like a real man.
I don't do that. It's not that I'm against it on some like
you
moral
let the machine
ground.
Get $30 out of you. You let the big industry get to you.
The gentleman at the store with the overpriced menswear in this section of Columbus that is very I don't even know what the word is. Like, it's, you know, it's the fancy.
You could have bought one beer at Lower Park Stadium, or whatever it's called, for $30.
I could have done that. By the way, the stadium price is the most expensive thing in Columbus. The rest of Columbus is pretty damn cheap. Stadium price is pretty normal for that. I will speed up. The bag eventually showed up. I did buy a shirt at Homage, however you say that, which is right on the same street where I was in Columbus. They make some really cool stuff. It says Vamos Columbus on it. I wore it to the game. I didn't want to be out of place in the Nordeca, which is where my ticket was, because they invited me in. The stadium is great. Now, it's generally any different than any new soccer stadium in MLS. Like, it's got a roof all the way around it. That's a big upgrade for Columbus, Jared.
Yeah.
You and I went to that 2013 USA-Mexico game, which is obviously a different crowd, but I don't remember, like, I can't remember that sound of that game well enough to tell you how much different this one was. But a roof makes a huge difference.
All I remember is Frankie hit a popping up like a mole, like a little mole out of a hole over the field. Like, oh, there he is.
Yeah, he was also involved in the march to the match, which I participated in for this game. I got a chance to run into Frankie, said hi to him.
Did you get to operate the jackhammer?
I did not. By the way, the jackhammer itself has been dubbed by the Columbus Crew fans
the worst idea ever in MLS?
Jack Hamma with no Jack Hamma. Anyway, I don't know.
They got a lot of stuff right there. That jackhammer thing is lame.
Well, why do you get to judge it?
It's my job. Like, literally, all I do is make, like, outlandish, ridiculous statements about things in MLS that I can't back up.
I just think...
Damn, dog, that's inappropriate.
No, here's why it's lame. Two things. Two reasons why it's lame.
All right, here we go. Everybody get ready.
One, you're obviously copying something that's working at another club and making it into your thing.
What, the Portland Timbers thing?
Of course it's Portland. You don't have to act like you don't know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about.
By the way,
it's obvious.
They admitted to that. They said that they took
it. They're making it okay. People admit to crimes all the time. Doesn't make it okay.
All right. I think the story is that the fans and the players got together, and the players wanted something like this to celebrate goals. So maybe the Columbus Crew players were like, hey, why does Portland get to have all the fun? Let's create something here for us.
Cool. Let's say that it's not that worst. It's not the worst thing ever. Did you lose my video?
You're being all jumpy, but you're fine right now. So keep going. Okay. Power ahead.
So let's say it's okay and we can make this happen. I when I heard about it, I was like, okay, kind of biting off Portland, but I could get that. That's a cool thing. It could make maybe be cool in the stadium. And then I saw it. And why are they jackhammering the world's smallest piece of concrete?
Because that concrete is going to get engraved with the goal, the opponent, the date, and they're going to build a wall with. They're going to put it in a wall, which the players again asked for. Okay,
so but here's my thing: have a huge slab of concrete, just like when you go to the port. There's a huge tree sitting there, and you carve off one little slice. It should be a big pad of concrete, and you chip a bit off every game when there's
a
goal.
Well, you're suggesting improvements. You're not necessarily suggesting they toss out the whole thing. Improvements can happen, and maybe they will adjust. I mean, do you think
you got this big badass tool, and it's like the piece of concrete is half the width of the tool.
That did look weird. I'll admit that did look weird. I do love though. I love the image of the three people standing there wearing the hard hats.
The dude on the right's never had a hard hat on in his life.
Whoever
that dude is.
But Frankie Hajduk with the hard hat, just like doing these numbers, like, come on.
He knows what he's getting paid to do. He knows what he's getting paid to do.
I love that so much. It's unbelievable. At several points during my trip, during the march, during all of this, and Columbus people will know this, you know that Frankie Hajduk has a kid named Nesta, right? Did you know that?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you know that
Dunny has a dog named Nesta.
Okay, Do you know that Nesta Hajduk looks exactly like Frankie Hajduk down to the length of his hair? Did you know that?
I have not seen him in years. He's
got to be like 18 or whatever. Or he's got to be near adult.
Here's
at
the
this
thing.
Point.
Frankie's kids live in Columbus, Ohio, and I bet he gets them back to San Diego enough in the summertime, every one of those kids can surf.
Oh, and they definitely...
They're living the movie Airborne in reverse.
They sound like Frankie Hajduk living in Columbus, Ohio. Think about what that means in terms of the culture clash of these things. I think it's amazing. So I got
to... love to see Frankie Hajduk. You know, if you go to one of those wave parks or like a water park that has a wave machine in it?
Yeah.
Imagine what happens in Columbus, Ohio when they go to the wave park and Frankie Hayek shows up and he just carves up that thing and the rest of it's populated by people who have never seen salt water.
That's hilarious. That's a hilarious idea. I don't know. I mean, maybe some wave park surfers there in Columbus. And by the way, yes, somebody asked, this is Oliver. He asked, wait, so the Columbus Zoo has Jack Hanna and the Columbus crew have Jack Hamma? That's exactly what it is. That's why it's Jack Hamma, because they have Jack Hanna.
But here's the thing. What is this? Like, no, Jason's putting, aren't they tearing down the old stadium? Are they tearing down the old stadium?
No, he's saying they aren't tearing it down. They're not tearing it down completely. It's going to be part of a training facility.
If I was Columbus, I would have said, let's take a piece of the parking lot or something, or the concrete at the old stadium, and brought that with you to the new one.
Okay.
And as you break that up, and that's what you make your wallet of, a piece of your heritage.
I could see that. I could see that. Look,
why don't people pay me to do stuff?
Okay. I don't know. Look, these traditions that have to be popped, they have to be created, because this is how our culture works, right? We don't have deep 100-year-old soccer culture, so we have to make these things happen. We have to create these things out of whole cloth. I'm not going to get too judgy. If you do something for long enough, people accept it as a tradition. It doesn't matter how dorky and corny and weird it is. It's just a thing that we've always done. But that takes a long time to get there.
I'm wearing a Galaxy jersey right now. We got an alien named Cosmo that actually is pretty cool somehow. And it, just because he's been around so long, and Chris Thomas is a freaking genius with how he does the Twitter with it.
Yeah.
But that shouldn't work. But for some reason, it works. From objectively a bad idea that somehow works.
The only thing I would say, and I had thought about this, is I know the hard hats are part of the three people there and the jackhammering, but I kind of feel like the hard hat should be the thing that gets the goal engraved on it, and then you give the hard hat to the player, and they take that home, and that's like their trophy, like the Timbers with the slice of the log, that those players take that home. That's their record of that goal. I think that would be a cool thing, to have a hard hat for every player who does.
But you see, another opportunity they missed was that with Portland, they have Timber Joey. Like, they've named and have that person. And I think like, no matter what your actual name is, you become Timber Joey, right? Like, it's like,
no,
I don't think the name changes.
No. It did change. It was Timber Jim first. Timber Jim inaugurated that tradition, and now
here's
it's Timber
Joey. You play into the hat thing, and you get a name to it, and you call that person, whoever it is on the jackhammer, Jimmy Hat.
No. Why did I let you do that?
What, did you see it coming?
No.
Well, neither with you over the Jimmy Hat.
No, I did not see that coming. All right. Look, otherwise, it was an excellent experience. Just to keep it Columbus for a second, obviously 2-2 draw against Vancouver, or New England, rather, and the own goal from New England allowed the crew to get a point out of that. Just terrible for Andrew Farrell, whatever. A good goal from Jossie's artist, so they have that to celebrate. I think it was really cool. I hope that March thing continues. The stadium obviously can hold some noise. I think the Nordeca is going to learn how to be in that stadium. I'm not sure they quite, you know, they're there yet. Their TIFO didn't come off for reasons of cables not holding it.
People, that sucks.
I watched them make
the TIFO. You helped paint?
I did. You know, I was there for some photographic opportunities.
Wait, was that did you pose as if you were helping just for the Instagram love?
I traced a letter. That's what happened.
And then you walked away.
Hold on. First of all, I came.
You probably drank their beer too.
I came to. There was no beer. They were actually doing this in elementary school. I don't think beer was allowed in this environment.
Yeah, don't be doing that.
I came by at the invitation of somebody who in the Nordeca. I did not intend to be like, oh, I'm helping. I wasn't going to do that. I was asked if I wanted to trace a letter and have a picture taken. So I did. So I
participated. Put your DNA on history.
I was there. Again, the TIFO did not come off, unfortunately.
That sucks, dude.
They got to work that out at the Nordeca. I don't know if you had a chance to watch it. I'm guessing some of the besties did. Some of the people in our chat did. Tell me how it sounded. I know it's also about ESPN's miking, because that's, you know, that can, it can vary.
I couldn't tell much difference from a normal MLS game, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I mean,
I'm not saying that it was extra level.
And
or
it doesn't
anything.
Mean, does not mean it's bad. That did not mean it was bad. It sounded good. I couldn't tell much difference.
I was in the supporter end, so I have no concept of how it sounded everywhere else in the stadium, because the people around me are constantly singing. Now, one thing that, you know, came up is, The songs, for the most part, are the same as every other MLS team songs. Like, if you, except for a couple where you reference Columbus or you reference the crew, it's the same songs. And I was thinking about this. There's a little bit of a problem that MLS has that you know, in a modern connected world, we're all sharing culture through the internet. Things get flattened out real fast. Like, there's just
We haven't developed supporter culture from pub culture. And that's the difference between, like, Europe and us, is where these supporters usually all go back to the pub after the game, before the game. Yeah. They're drunk, singing a song and turning it into something about their club from that day.
Sure.
And then that's how everyone kind of learns it, is because there was a group, experience that created it. And we're, I think in the U.S., we have a person that's leading and saying, man, what kind of creative thing can I write for this, and then they try to teach it to everyone.
Yeah,
and then some people probably just aren't on board.
I mean, look, it'd be great if we didn't need capos. It really would. I met some of the Columbus capos, and they're great people, and they're trying to help support their team. It would be great if we didn't need them, and maybe one day we won't. I don't know.
They looked great on your Instagram, though. That Nodeka looked fantastic.
It was
on
fun.
Your Instagram.
It was really cool. It was great. Now, hopefully, we will. See that develop. The thing I was going to say, the last thing about Columbus, is there's a question of whether or not they should get the Mexico game back, Jared, after what happened in the last cycle. Brand new stadium, lots of people pushing for St. Paul, for Allianz Field to get that game. And now we know that Nashville will host the first qualifier against Canada. And there are several factors here. One of them being, you usually program that match, any match, any qualifier, to maximize U.S. support, right? That's not an issue against Canada.
And Nashville has a record of that.
Sure. You want to maximize the
advantage,
climactic advantage in that case. So again, this is why St. Paul comes up for Mexico, because it figures to be pretty cold in November when you're hosting Mexico.
I guess I have two thoughts on this. The first one is, do we need it still? Are we beyond gimmicks at this point?
I don't think so.
There was a time where the U.S. team wasn't as good as Mexico.
No. And I don't think Mexico's beyond gimmicks either. Like, I mean, I know it's built in because it's the Azteca.
Their capital happens to be at a mile high. Yeah. You know, like.
Yeah, more than that. Yeah, you're right. It's easy for Mexico to kind of lean on the same advantages they've always had but I don't think it's wrong.
They're never playing us in Jalisco, though.
No, they're probably not. They're probably not playing us in Monterrey, even though that's not easy. It's not like it would be easy to win in those places, but they don't have any incentive to do that. They can put the most people in the Azteca, the atmosphere and the smog and all that nonsense. And normally you worry about heat. Now, for the U.S. this time around, I don't think heat's going to be a factor in Mexico.
Do you think you'll ever see the U.S. versus Mexico in a meaningful qualifier in L.A.?
No. Never.
Do you think that there's never a point where the U.S. is going to be like, we can make so much more money?
Okay, no.
That we're going to take away the advantage.
You know when that happens? That happens after the United States men's national team wins the World Cup. That's when that happens.
Okay.
I can't be the person. Look, I want to believe. I want to have hope. I got a talented team now. 2026 isn't that far away. Who knows? But I don't. It's really hard for me to say, yeah, the United States has a chance to win a World Cup.
And so. I know the U.S. has played Mexico in the Gold Cups and stuff like that, and they happen to be. But it wasn't a game that was chosen for a meaningful qualifier that would, like, this is where we want to play Mexico, when you can choose from the whole United States.
Yes.
That's different. The tournament ended in those cities.
Yeah, by the way, note on this, and look, I'll happily bash the Mexican Federation for bad mistakes. I don't want to be... I don't want to be xenophobic or whatever, but Mexico is per reports, and I don't think this is like an official thing from the FMF, but they've got that ban on fans for two qualifiers because of the chant, and they have been making effort. It's too late, too little, too late. But they've been making some effort to try to squash it. But apparently, they want their women's team to play two games behind closed doors because the ban applies to the whole federation and not just the men.
Dude.
And that is the snakiest thing.
This is the equivalent of getting a DUI and telling your wife to take the online classes for you.
Yeah. Well, it's like
I just need you to push the enter button every 5 seconds.
It's you getting the DUI, and then when the cop is pulling up, you tell your wife to switch places with you. That's what this is.
Yeah,
it's worse than that. So I hope they don't get away with that. And
that's bullshit, dude. Bullshit.
We'll see.
That shouldn't be. I can't believe that is something that could even happen. So I guess the ban is at the federation level, not at the team level.
That's what the report would lead me to believe. Again, whether they can get away with this, I'm not positive.
And who are they assessed the ban by? CONCACAF,
FIFA. I believe it's a FIFA ban. Yes. So,
I can't think that no one has ever thought that. That's how little FIFA thinks of the women's game, that they'd ever thought of this consideration of how to get around something.
Yeah. And it's sad because Mexico has, they just played the U.S. women's national team and it did not go well for Mexico. And
yeah, both games. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not expecting them to really compete with the U.S. women.
4-0 tonight.
But it's sad because Mexico does have some talent. There are a lot of Mexican-American players who would happily play for the country of their parents, just like some of the men's players do, who could make them better if they got some real support. And there is, you know, there is a women's league in Mexico that's growing slowly. But, yeah, man, you just see some of the stuff that happens around it, and it's ridiculous. Yeah, by the way, speaking of the U.S. women, 4-0 today. Lindsay Horan, Carly Lloyd, an own goal.
Did you see the Horan goal?
I have not seen anything yet.
Oh, my Lord, that was nice. I mean, I'm not going to act like it was like way out or something like that, but Carly Lloyd flicks a header onto and Lindsay Horan from about probably like 15 hits a beautiful full volley. A beautiful shot. I loved it. And also, the other thing to take from this series, the games right now, is Tobin Heath's back and looking good.
Yeah. I mean, again, I don't know how you judge this team's and their readiness against Mexico.
I don't know how you select a top starting 11 out of it. That's what I can't imagine. Vlatko's, because everyone's hitting. Merpino's hitting. Press is hitting. Tobin Heath's back and hitting. Horan is hitting. Carly Lloyd's even doing some stuff. Like, you know, I don't think she's the first choice striker.
No, she's not.
But Rose Lavelle is backing. Look, Sam Buis is playing out of her mind with slotted balls through the defenses. Like, it's a really, really tough decision that Vlatko has up top.
Yeah, really tough stuff. I do agree with that. All right, let's get... So U.S. women getting ready for the Olympics is certainly a story, but they took care of business against Mexico. Let's talk about the Gold Cup roster, which dropped since we last met. We talked a little bit about who we thought might be here. Let me go through it, Jared. And as always, you stop me if you want to talk about somebody. We'll talk about the position groups, and you tell me who's maybe missing or what you're looking for here. Goalkeepers are Brad Guzan, Sean Johnson, Matt Turner. Any surprises there?
Only surprise maybe is that maybe you would think Ethan Horvath comes to this to get some starting minutes. You know, like, you know, maybe he gets here because, I mean, he's been the second option. Maybe he's no longer second option. I don't know. But Zach Steffen has got the majority of minutes, even though Ethan Horvath has been in camps. There is something you could be said about making what you think is possibly your number two run this tournament and get a lot of minutes and actually get more looks at him.
But we know he wasn't, you know, he was part of the Nations League. He obviously had the incredible game against Mexico.
Let's be honest. Does the backup keeper in Europe need an offseason?
Well, he is lining up his move, right? So
for sure.
We'll talk about, there's a rumor about where he might land. So he's got business to attend to. So being away with the national team for a month might not be the best situation for him, right? He needs to kind of be available because preseason is getting underway for some of these clubs. And you know, obviously I'm giving away the info, and most people maybe have heard this. He's linked to a championship club. You know how many games they play in the championship? It's an insane season. So you kind of have to be ready from the get. All right, so that's the goalkeeping situation. We expect Matt Turner to be the number one. Yes.
Yes, I believe so. Okay. I would be surprised if he's not.
Defenders, George Bello, Reggie Cannon, Shaq Moore, Donovan Pines, Miles Robinson, James Sands, Sam Vines, and Walker Zimmerman.
This is probably the part of the field that has the most surprises. For me, principal among them is the fact that Julian Araujo was not selected. But there's some context to that, is that Julian Araujo sounds like he is not fully ready to commit to the U.S. just yet. Which kind of breaks my heart a little bit.
Well, but I get it. You know, I don't know if Berhalter's being overly honest, if he's telling just what really is going down here. Like, it feels like sometimes, you know, Berhalter says things that a normal coach might not say. Like, I agreed. I don't know what that he's got a thing about it where honesty is a factor here. I mean, he came on the press conference when this roster dropped.
I think that
dropped.
Endears him to his players, though.
I think so, too. He came on the press conference after this roster dropped last week, and he said in the very beginning, like, we have some issues at center back depth. I mean, he said that without anybody prompting him, without any questions. He said, we have issues at center back. He talked about Julian Araujo, like you said, and he said, maybe, and I think he's speculating with a little bit of an understanding of how Julian's thinking. He said, maybe Julian sees the right back situation, that we have a bunch of players, that we've got some depth there, and thinks he's not going to get minutes, and that he wants to at least keep his options.
Let's be honest,
open.
Right now, he's in the conversation for what, maybe fourth?
Maybe somewhere like that. Yeah. And so
that's a tough conversation.
It's a little unfortunate. You would love to see him play, but if he's not ready to cap tie himself because he doesn't know if playing time's coming, and there's a World Cup, like, he's not breaking into Mexico's World Cup team either, but I understand maybe keeping your options open. There are a couple of surprises. I think Donovan Pines is a bit of a surprise despite the fact he's been good. But again, center back depth. Who are you bringing?
I think we're a little bit surprised at Shaq Moore.
Shaq Moore is definitely one. Now, Berhalter said something like he's established himself, he's a starter, and I think what that means is it will not hurt him to miss preseason time with Tenerife in the second division, meaning you call him up because he won't be damaged by being a national teamer for a month during the summer, whereas some of these options, some other right backs who are in the pool, they need club time, or they need to be with their clubs, or their situation's a little less clear, that kind of thing. I think
that's why there's a surprise to me that Reggie Cannon's there.
Right.
Because, I mean, you would think that Boavista's going to be starting their preseason. He just did the Nations League as well. Or there are some rumors that maybe he's not going to be at Boavista come the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I think they've got some issues financially.
I'm kind of surprised by that inclusion. Not that it's not warranted, but it's one of only, what, two or three people that were on the Nations League roster that are also here.
Yes.
So that's a little bit surprising. But what's really apparent when you look at this defensive core is that, to Berhalter's point, the center back question, Miles Robinson and Walker Zimmerman, we're going to get to see a lot of that.
Yeah.
And I think that's the preferred. I don't think there's anyone even close to really breaking into that. He said
Miles Robinson and Walker Zimmerman are our starters, is what Berhalter said. So then you move
on. I'm excited to see James Sands get some minutes, hopefully. Sure. I think that's interesting to me.
Sure.
But Sam Vines is your starting left back, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, people are going to talk about George Bello, but I think that's going to be Sam Vines.
Well, yeah, but this is the thing. You build in a little bit of depth at every position, although I think right back is certainly... I mean, Reggie Cannon.
Yeah.
Reggie Cannon's going to start. Sam Vines is going to start. Miles Robinson is going to start. Walker Zimmerman's going to start. And then depending on how things go, and certainly substitute patterns, you may end up with all those other guys, Pines, Sands, Moore, Bello.
It's a lot of question marks after that starting core right there. Even the starting core has some question marks around it. But that's what this Gold Cup is. And if you thought this is going to be full of A-team players, you were kidding yourself. It was always going to be this kind of roster. But I think there's a little bit of surprise at just how quickly and how many chances he's taking at the second wave of defenders.
Midfielders are Kellen Acosta, Gianluca Busio, Sebastian Legette, Christian Roldan, Eric Williamson, Jackson Yule. What are your thoughts here?
Everyone's surprised that Flock's not in there, but I personally am not.
I don't think that that's a surprise. I think that's just Philly fans thinking he's good enough to be there. But I don't. Do you think Leon Flock is a better choice than any of the guys that got called in?
There's a conversation about him potentially. Gianluca Busio and Eric Williamson, I would take both of them, so maybe not. For me, there's not a conversation about it.
Okay.
Some people just don't like Jackson Yule.
No,
but
sure.
But you're kidding yourself if you didn't think he was going to be in this lineup.
Well, I somebody tagged me in a massive rant of a thread today, a guy out of Atlanta named Chris, and he was very adamant that Berhalter's screwing everything up and that his belief in guys like Jackson Yule is an indication that he's failing.
I'm not gonna lie, it's a little Bob Bradley-ish. But okay. Players like Jackson Yule have a career in this game all over the world because that kind of position and that kind of mentality is effective.
Yeah.
It's effective. And you're protecting a lead late in the game. Jackson Yule's the type of guy you want to have come into the game. No one's saying he's starting.
Okay. I mean,
maybe in the Gold Cup, but well, not for like a World Cup situation.
But the makeup of this midfield is going to be fascinating. So, I think Acosta is most people's first choice for the backup defensive midfielder number six behind Adams or in this team, certainly, right?
Yeah, I think obviously Berhalter sees Sebastian Legette as a starter here.
I think so.
You're looking at Kellen Acosta, Legette, and Christian Roldan, and I think you're going to see Busio for a game or two.
I think that's probably right. Now, Berhalter in his comments said that Eric Williamson has played some six, so it didn't sound like he was committed to the idea of Eric Williamson being a six. He just said he's played some six with Diego Tarab out in Portland at times. I don't think he talked a lot about Jackson in those comments. Gianluca Busio is a young player, and he sort of highlighted how young he is. And but he also said that look at Giovanni Reyna, same age as Gianluca Busio. If Busio comes along, maybe he can be a contributor to this team. I think Busio, who's playing a deeper lying position for Sporting, is probably going to be one of the 8-10s in the setup for the U.S. men's national team, provided you're playing that 4-3-3, right? And not as a starter, but maybe an option there. The other thing that Berhalter said that was kind of like, okay, is he said, and when he was prompted by a question by somebody saying, hey, you kind of don't have any clear role players here, right? You don't have an out-and-out six, you don't have an out-and-out eight, you don't have an out-and-out 10. what's going on? He's like, well, maybe the interchange can work. On paper or in theory, we can have guys kind of switching around like a triangle, one of those triangles that's just kind of turning all the time. I don't know if that works because you obviously have to have your head on real straight to be able to handle that in a game that's moving at speed. But, you know, who knows? Who knows?
And if I remember correctly, Sebastian Legette's joining this camp late. I'm not sure if he's going to miss any games, but I know that Galaxy was committed to getting him to play the next two games for LA.
Okay.
So I know he's coming in late, but I'm just not sure. I don't think he's missing any games, but that might contribute to him not being ready to start for the first game.
Now,
but the question that Navi put up in here in the chat, the Julian Green question, I'm not sure if he belongs in the midfield or forward kind of area
That's a question.
And that might be one of the reasons why he's not here. But I think that's a surprise for a lot of people. A lot of people feel that with the effort he did in the second Bundesliga was worthy of getting inclusion here.
Well, again, this is not – national team is never necessarily about who deserves it, right? It's about who's available. It's about the way the system works, and it's about fitting players into that system. Now, I could argue that Gianluca Bozio doesn't have a clear role, and it's a weird inclusion, but he's also very young, so there's lots of potential for him. Julian Green's a little bit of an older player. Not that he's old, but he's an older player. Now, I do think that at Grutha Firth, he was playing as a midfielder, not as a wing forward, not as a 4-4-3-3. He was playing as a midfielder. So would you play him in the place of a Christian Roldan? I think a lot of people might say yes, give him a shot at that.
But I think what I worry about in this midfield, though, is if Christian Roldan has yellow card accumulation, who's the other midfielder in this that's going to do the offensive work that Christian Roldan's going to do? That's where you may want like someone like a Julian Green that can do that kind of thing.
Sure.
You can move Sebastian Legette up forward, but I don't know that's necessarily his game. I think Christian Roldan going forward has looked very good for Seattle this season.
Yeah. Kevin doesn't think that Greg rates Julian Green. Saw him in camp in June, hasn't called him in here for the Gold Cup. I mean, if you just saw the player and he was with your Nations League group in Europe and then you don't call him in for this, I mean, maybe.
By the way, the 60-man roster, let's talk about the fact that there is a 60-man roster to start. Isn't this a way just to be isn't it a way just to make everyone feel good?
Yeah, sure. I think, I don't know why.
I got my own, buddy. You ain't there yet, buddy, but I see you. See you.
Exactly. I think that's what it is. It's I see you. I recognize what I see what you're doing over there. And hey, we're not going to come for you right now, but just hold tight. You know, that's maybe why you put Araujo on that roster, even if you don't think he's necessarily going to accept your call. And I think that's fine. Again, I don't know why CONCACAF does it that way. It's kind of weird. I guess
And by the way, we know now, and we didn't know this when we talked about the 60-man roster, that Luca Della Torre is not included by request.
By his request. Yes.
By his request.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of people may be wondering, like, where's that off? We're talking about missing that offensive midfield presence. You know?
I also think that for any European-based player, it's just tough. Like, it's just a tough ask.
It's understandable.
There are only a couple of players based in Europe who are on this roster. I lost my train of thought. I think we were pretty much done with the midfield there. Let me talk about the forwards. Paul Areola, Daryl DK, Nicholas Giacchini, Matthew Hoppe, Jonathan Lewis, Jossie Zardes.
Now, this is the part where I think people have a right to be disappointed in a little bit of this.
Sure, okay.
You know? Because when you think about the fact that you don't have, like, Chris Mueller, who's looking really good the last couple of games for Orlando.
Okay.
And has looked very good for the U.S., not included.
Okay.
Jesus Ferreira, not included. Ricardo Pepi is looking fantastic, not included.
Okay.
There's a lot of fun players, and that may be the problem. The people rate fun really high. But you got guys like Nicholas Giacchini. And you have Jonathan Lewis, I think, is the big one for a lot of people, not understanding why he was selected.
Okay, I understand. You're right. Jonathan Lewis is the one that stands out for me, because that could very easily be a player that you just mentioned. I mean, it could be a... I don't know about Jesus Ferreira, maybe. It could be a Chris Mueller, certainly. There are maybe wing options that could be here. I don't know exactly where a player like Caden Clark fits in, but obviously his appendectomy probably keeps him out anyway, so don't worry about him. I think what's... And Berhalter did say something about wing play. We don't have a lot of wingers in this group. What he didn't say, but I think is the subtext, is that this is 100% an attempt to find center forwards. And rather than bring in a bunch of wingers he already knows or wingers who might be on the fringe, he's like, you know what? Giacchini, Hoppe, Zardes that he knows, but obviously there's a reason to have an experienced player like that.
You've got four big body strikers.
Daryl DK, right? And he mentioned, Berhalter said that he does think that Giacchini and Hoppe can play wide, They're not going to be classically wing players. Yeah. We'll see how that works out, but mentioned it.
Jonathan Lewis can play out in the wing. But here's the thing. Is he a better winger than Chris Mueller?
No, but
that's the part I think where a lot of people are having problems here. I understand maybe you don't bring Jesus Ferreira because he's going to play that withdrawn nine, and that's not what he's trying to do here. He's trying to find that nine's going to stretch the back line.
I do think it's wild to be like, we're going to call in a couple of center forwards who aren't going to play center forward in our system, and then we're going to use that information to determine who our center forwards are? That's wild. That's why do you do that? Like, what is it? Is this a recognition thing? I mean, Giacchini and I don't know where to put Giacchini, right? Because we saw the rise of PFOC in the Nations League, right? We saw him get an opportunity. He seems to be ahead of Giacchini. He seems to be maybe at this point even ahead of DK, who can certainly pass him up in this tournament.
He may be ahead of Josh Sargent.
Very possible he's ahead of Josh. Certainly as a bench
DK
option.
Might be ahead of Josh Sargent.
That's possible too. I mean, I don't know.
This is where they have the chance. These are guys that all have wanted a chance. These are guys the fans have been wanting to see for a while. In Matthew Hoppe, you're going to have a guy, if he's in the starting lineup, is going to run his butt off and do a lot of the work from the front. I wouldn't be surprised to see a front three of Paul Ariola, DK, and Matthew Hoppe. I really wouldn't.
Okay.
Just because of the industry that Hoppe can give you up there.
I can see that.
Because otherwise, it's Jonathan Lewis starting. And I think you're not going to learn enough about some of these other guys that this is your chance if Jonathan Lewis is a starter.
I hope not. I think Jonathan Lewis is the guy that Berhalter really likes as a late game change player.
Hassani Dotson might have been a better choice than Jonathan Lewis.
I mean, Hassani Dotson is more of a midfielder, but fine. I mean, I think that you've got a combination of things, right? It's not one set of criteria applied to the entire group. He wants to find a center forward. He's got DK, Giacchini, Hoppe. He's going to take a look at all those guys. He wants some experience. He wants some guys who know how to win in the Gold Cup. He's got Giassi Zardes and Paul Ariola, and he wants a guy he can bring off the bench who's going to give defenses fits when they're tired late in games, and that's Jonathan Lewis. And Jonathan Lewis may not be a 90-minute player. He's not a starter. But he's maybe what Berhalter thinks. I'm not defending it because I would have taken Chris Mueller over him. But he thinks that guy is the bench player he wants in those moments.
And I get that because when you look up and down this field, do you see speed anywhere other than Jonathan Lewis?
Maybe the center back.
it's rough, dude. This is rough from a speed standpoint. Like, I get it. Maybe it was take a flyer on a guy that can run because you might need that at the end of the game, you know? But I'm nervous. And here's the ultimate thing I want to ask you. Here's the big picture question I want to ask you about this.
Okay.
When you look up and down this 23-man roster,
yeah,
is this a Gold Cup winning roster to you?
No, it's not. It's not for two reasons. One, it's not nearly as strong as the United States can put out there. And number two, Mexico's bringing a powerhouse. Mexico's bringing A minus.
I'll reiterate what you're saying too. I believe the same thing. And here's the other thing I want to hear American soccer fans to hear. That's okay.
Sure.
That's okay. This wasn't about winning. If this was about winning, you would have seen all the players that are the sexy players being marketed for this game.
Well, we'll talk about that in a second. I know the mental gymnastics are hard. Oliver says it. Gold Cup is the new throwaway tournament, I guess. Useful for getting experience, but no real expectations. Here's the problem for Berhalter. This is what he's facing, right? What is his one overriding, most important goal? No questions asked, Jared. What does he have to do?
Qualify for the World Cup.
He has to qualify for the World Cup. That's it. That's the only thing he's supposed to do. Winning the Gold Cup would be nice, but it's not his main objective. Yeah. His main objective is to get a team ready to go to qualifying, win games, and guess what? This qualifying is going to be a bitch. It's going to be really tough. It's not just three games in a week. It's three games in a week where you're in the United States and you fly to Panama and you fly back. Or you're playing in El Salvador and you fly to Nashville and you fly back out to Honduras. That's how this is going to go. He's got to be ready for that. And I don't think he wants to mess around with, well, we got to put together the strongest team, but not the whole European guys because they need a break. And we just, I don't think he wants to do that. I think he wants to find players who can help him when he gets to qualifying, individual players. Because if you look at this group, not only is there's not any speed, where's any player in this team that can create a shot off the dribble? Is there any player that is capable of that? Anybody?
Paul Ariola.
Do you think he can do that, really? I mean, he could cut inside.
If I have to pick one, that's the one that's closest to me.
Okay. Yeah, but that's not really his game.
Sebastian Legette has. I'm not saying it's what he does.
Sure, has.
It's not what he does.
Look,
but I agree with you. There's a dearth of creativity and speed in this line.
If I'm looking for
the Gold Cup is here to solve two problems. There's two problems to be solved. find a center back option and find a striker. That's the two. The whole reason this Gold Cup is out there, right, and this lineup is, this roster is built to answer those two questions.
I think that's true.
Get Walker Zimmerman and Miles Robinson 6 games.
Lots of minutes.
You know, and seeing what they can do. And then get Daryl DK and Azardes and Hoppy multiple games and figure out what that is. And guess what? Be prepared, U.S. fans. You're going to see a lot of midfield bypasses. This is going to play to DK's strength because he was just playing at Barnsley, which was hoofing the ball over midfield the entire time.
Okay.
It's going to be that again.
I hope for something a little bit more sophisticated, but I do think you're going to see, like, if there's a midfielder who touches the ball, his goal is going to be to get it to Daryl DK as fast as possible. And I can imagine if you're going to start, and I do hope it's Hoppy over Lewis, that kind of thing, and Areola on the other side maybe. I hope you can get Daryl DK playing as a pivot and those guys running off of him, and he can find either get them the ball or win things in the air, flick-ons, post runs, those things. Maybe those things can happen. Maybe they can.
I feel bad for Reggie Cannon, because think of the power that Canada's bringing. First game, he's going to have Alfonso Davies just streaking at him. And people are going to be like, Reggie Cannon sucks. Dude is going to be left on an island a lot of time against Alfonso Davies in this lineup. Canada has a better team than the U.S. here. Well, Canada and Mexico, I think, are going to be 1-2 in this tournament.
Yeah, I think so. Here's a good question before we wrap this up, and we will talk about the marketing of this. Sean says, who should be more excited about, DK or Hoppy? Bundesliga success seems more impressive than championship.
I think you should be excited about DK as a potential contributor with more minutes, but I think Hoppy's actually more exciting to watch. Watch him. Watch him when he doesn't have the ball. If you guys can see it on the screen, watch what he makes smart runs.
Yeah.
He really, really does. He's in good positions, and we'll have to see what happens when he's not at a Schalke, that maybe guys can find him. But I just don't know if this team is really going to create many more things for him than Schalke. But he's not playing the Bundesliga caliber defenses either in this tournament.
I think Daryl DK has all the tools. I mean, they're not refined yet. They're not sharpened, right? They're all there. You ever seen somebody who really knows how to make stuff? Like pull out like their roll of tools and they like open it up and it's like, and they're like, I can do anything. I can build anything with this set of tools.
I'm going to tell you one tool he doesn't have though.
What's that?
Speed. It's just not there, dude.
Okay.
It's not elite level speed. It really, really isn't. And that's one thing that worries me a little bit when I watch him, is that I don't think he can pull away from a defense. Now, granted, maybe his game, he doesn't have to.
I don't think he has to. But he can body. If you knock a center back to the ground with receiving the ball and turn on him, it doesn't matter if you're fast. You've already knocked the center back to the ground. He's got to get up and chase you, and you got 5 yards on him. I'm just saying. Let's do it. I think DK is set up with his tools to be an incredible player. I can't guarantee you it's going to happen, but I think you should be more excited about Daryl DK. Not that you can't also be excited about Matthew Hoppy, but Matthew Hoppy's burst of goals in the Bundesliga doesn't tell me a whole lot for a bad team, right? And the bad team is a major factor, as you said. DK played for a decent team in the championship. No matter how they played, what style they played, they got to a championship playoff. That says something about their quality across the rest of the team, and we saw him thrive in that environment. And yes, I know he overperformed his expected goals, and I believe in expected goals.
Don't start with that.
Believe in expected goals, but man, if you overperform and overperform and overperform, then that just means you're good at finding ways to score goals that aren't supposed to be scored. It doesn't mean that you're going to regress.
What it means is that stat is bullshit.
Okay, that's not. Don't be the old man on this show. Give me a chance. All right. Briefly, do you want to say anything about the way this is being marketed in Kansas City? Because apparently, is it just Kansas City or everywhere?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I've only seen a couple images out there, but I think it's extremely disingenuous of SUM, and people may not know this, but what's happening is in marketing materials for this game that they are using the images of Pulisic, Weston McKennie, Tyler Adams to sell this game. But I find that to be a credible sleight of hand.
Let's really quick go through this and talk about these three players you just mentioned. Christian Pulisic. Yeah. Where has Christian Pulisic been the past week?
Wrestling fish.
I'm going to say this. I want to get to the fish story in bigger detail. Christian Pulisic has... I don't want this to sound like I'm saying it's the worst thing or it's really a criticism, but he's got a terrible social media game. It's not. It's not good. Now he's not.
Here's the thing, Jason. He might be just a terrible person.
I don't know that he's a terrible person. I do think he's just a normal dude who happens to be good at soccer. Like he's not one of these guys that's like absorbing. This is why the photo shoot was so crazy, because that's not who he is, right? He's not the guy who's like thinking about what he's wearing. Like I saw Zach Steffen in Columbus. Zach Steffen was wearing a Balenciaga t-shirt that probably cost him $300. He's wearing the motos or whatever the jeans he was. I wasn't really paying that much attention.
He had sunglasses on at night too?
No, he would. No, okay. I mean, the game was happening at 5:00. It was definitely sun. There was sun involved. But yeah, he's looking cool.
Here's the thing is, I think he's down to be the All-American boy.
He's just a guy, right? He goes home to Hershey. He plays with the kids.
And I think Tyler Adams is probably fairly similar to him in that regard.
I saw Tyler Adams out fishing on a lake. That's what he does. He's just a wholesome dude, that Tyler Adams, hanging out with the
family.
Now,
Weston McKennie, on the other hand, he's the hero we deserve. Weston McKennie is the hero we deserve. Because if you all haven't seen it, go find the images of him like balling on fools on the beach in Venice Beach in California.
Showing up to Venice Beach. Yep.
The guy is on his off season and he's balling on fools in Virginia Beach. This is what NBA always had, is that you get the film of the guys going back to Brooklyn and just going to their home courts and just dunking on fools.
This is the difference, by the way. Connor points it out. This is the truth. Christian Pulisic, Tyler Adams do not have their own chef and their own. I mean, they might have the chef. I don't know. The photographer, they definitely don't have. Weston McKennie has a photographer who lives with him in Italy to do his social media, to do his images. And even when he's just doing it himself on his phone, Weston is conscious of how these things look, right? He's putting together something. There is an image that
Weston
goes
McKennie
there.
May have like a toilet paper garçon, a guy that he just pays to wipe his butt because he can't be that close to something so filthy. You know, like my man's the next level above.
There's something to that. Now, we have to expand. I do think it's wrong, by the way, like you said, for them to market the tournament with those guys. It means that it's obviously just disingenuous as hell, and you're baiting and switching these people who might be buying tickets, but it also makes us as soccer fans, we have to deal with this stuff when people get all pissed off. And where's Christian Pulisic? Why isn't he on this roster? And it's like, guys, here's why. But they shouldn't
sit down. Let me tell you 15 minutes about how this summer works and how there's more competitions than what we need because someone has to pay the bills.
Yeah, CONCACAF needed a tournament every 2 years for whatever reason. You're right. It's bad. Let's talk about Christian Pulisic and the fish, okay? When I said, hey, are we going to talk
about Carlos Ruiz?
Christian Pulisic and the fish, Jared said, I don't understand this. Something like that, right? You don't understand what's happening?
I don't get it. I saw a picture of a dude halfway off a boat and a fish the size of a dolphin, and I don't know what's happening and why people are upset.
Okay, so I mean, I think everybody has seen the video at this point, right?
Like it looked like he was getting saved from a kraken.
Okay, so the whole setup, before we get to the fish and what kind of fish it is and anything like that, I just got to talk about this setup. There's a boat, and we're seeing the cameras, obviously. Somebody's holding it along the side or something? Like, the camera angle is
wild. Someone's got
the
selfie stick GoPro.
Something like that. It's like a GoPro stick, and they're leaning it over the boat. And Christian Pulisic is sitting on the edge of this boat in normal guy, like, goes on a boat gear. I mean, this is not like, I'm on a yacht. This is like,
sweater tied around his neck.
Is he wearing a Chelsea hat? It's blue. Is he wearing a Chelsea hat?
I saw the picture in passion. I didn't study it, dude, like in the
I'm just looking at a story with a still right now. And he's, for whatever reason, there's a giant fish alongside the boat being held on a line by some guy. And Christian Pulisic has a ball. Why is there a ball on the boat, Jared?
And from what I understand, isn't it because they were shooting something? I think I heard that they were shooting something. Some kind of, I don't know.
Shooting what?
All hearsay. I don't know him juggling a boat for TikTok. I don't know what he was doing. The guy has all sorts of weird things. Like, the difference is, now, if he had his own professional photographer to follow him everywhere, he wouldn't be in this position.
Okay, don't blow out your microphone getting all excited. There's a lot of things going on here. The Christian Pulisic is getting backlash, and the reason he's getting backlash is because this is apparently an endangered Goliath grouper fish. Okay, the fish that is alongside the boat, and obviously the rest of the video is he's juggling the ball on his foot for some reason, and then slips and falls into the water, and like lands on the fish, kind of like kicks the fish a little bit with his foot as he...
So the fish was already on the hook being reeled in and he slipped off?
The fish is being held there. Whether the fish was intended to be caught or it's just a prop in this thing, I don't...
Here's the difference between Christian Pulisic and Weston McKennie. Kusha Pulisic's in controversy for having being with a grouper. Wes McKinney should be with groupies.
Oh, I thought you said you like, he is with groupies. I don't know.
No, listen, that's the difference in their level. Like what's it with, like, dude, you spelled it wrong. You need to go for the groupies, not the groupers.
Can you imagine the text? Can you imagine, like, the WhatsApp group they got for this? Can you imagine? Like, I don't even...
It's all like, hey, dude, your new girl is ugly.
Okay, so the grouper fish apparently is an endangered Goliath grouper fish, and many different environmental groups, but this one particular I'm seeing is Blue Planet Society. They go by Sea Saver on Twitter. They're saying that abusing a threatened Goliath grouper for social media is a new low. And this fish is apparently either endangered or vulnerable. There's some concern, some confusion over which version of this there is. I don't think it's good. I don't think you should be doing this if the fish is endangered. However, if they let the fish go, I don't think there's any violation here, right? I don't
believe so either. And I think it even gets more wacky if they're actually international waters or not. But, like, okay, here's what I really hope happened.
Uh-huh.
Christian Pulisic sitting with whoever
you can do. Wait, hold on. Are you implying that you can do anything in international waters? Is that the implication?
I think there's many things you can do in international waters. Look at the Epstein's Island.
Like, oh, that's not... It's an island. How can it be international waters?
Maybe it's not.
You have to go off the coast. How many miles?
All right, here's the thing. Here's what I hope happened. Christian Pulisic chilling in Hershey with his social media person, whoever that is, because at this point, I don't know.
That's his guy.
His dad?
Brendan. No, that's his boy, Brendan, from back in Hershey. Like, they grew up together. Okay. And Brendan needed a job. He can't keep a job. He got fired at the gas.
What are you saying? They're like, dude, we need to go viral. What's the most viral thing? What's the most, you need to be with, like, a baller exotic animal. It's like, what's the most baller fish there is?
No, and that's
like,
not.
Dude, grouper. You got to get, like, a selfie with a grouper. tell me, it's like Tracy Morgan, like, in 30 Rock. He had, like, all these exotic fish just to have them. He didn't care about the fish. He just wanted the exotic fish because it was baller as hell.
I think Christian Pulisic's social media profile, like the way he does it, I think whoever is responsible for catching the fish bears the responsibility. Again, maybe don't do the soccer thing. Why is there a soccer ball in a boat? Is it being filmed for some video?
If you take a selfie with a grouper, that is called a groupie, though.
Okay, are you done with these jokes, or are they just going to keep coming?
They just keep coming to me, dude. I can tell you about it. I don't know where they come from.
Okay, I don't know that we need to belabor this anymore. I just don't... I don't think Christian Pulisic is like, this is his jam. Like, he's just not the guy for this.
He's never going to be our guy. He's never going to be our guy. He, like, as much as we want him, he's going to be great at this game. He's going to probably get more trophies than anyone. He's never going to be our guy. Our guy is going to be Weston McKinney.
Well, no, sure, but can I tell you that the last generation, we had a very similar situation, right? We had two players. We had a player who maybe was the better player,
I was just thinking the same thing.
Okay, you can talk about who's better or not. I don't want to get into that debate. But you had two players that were the stars of the national team.
One of them
was an incredibly quiet dude, just wanted to go about his life. At one point, decided to stop playing soccer for a while because he needed a break,
but
right?
At the same time, every once in a while, needed a little bit of attention, so he'd dye his hair blonde or something.
He would do
Weird moments where he'd make a weird decision.
He's a complicated man. Complicated individual, like we all are, like, you know, lots of. And then we had a guy who was also quiet, who also didn't want attention, but had some flash to him, had some swag, and used that
enough to wear a camo blazer.
Well, that was recent. He wasn't doing that back in his national team days. By the way, that camo blazer was a gift from the Men in Blazers. Did you know that?
I did not. No, I don't like it.
Okay, I don't mean. Just telling you what happened. I'm not making
Why
any...
Why do you ruin everything?
I've given you facts.
That's no, I feel you, though. I feel you, dude. Like, you got your Weston McKinney, which is a flavor that I can get with. You know, it's got some sauce. It's got some flavor, some spice. And then Christian Pulisic, which is like foie gras? Elevated. It's nice.
No.
It's a fine dining, but it doesn't have the best flavor.
No, this is like... It's like... He's from Hershey, right? It's like when occasionally Hershey will drop some, like... You know, some dark chocolate, like some attempt to be refined, some fancy looking thing. And you're like, nah, you're Hershey. You do kisses. You don't do fancy stuff.
But then, like, Pulisic's like a whatchamacallit. It's like, like the gimmicky thing that's still my favorite candy bar. But there's no way is it refined.
Yeah, I don't know enough about Hershey's portfolio these days to tell you which one he lines up to. But there's that. I don't know. It's it is what it is. You know, these guys are living their lives. Be careful with endangered animals. Go out there. Instead of dribbling on a fish, go dribble on those fools on Venice. Just do that, right? That's what you do.
Yeah, I find that a much more entertaining way for me to spend your summer, because I love seeing those photos, man. If you haven't seen them, go out there and find them. Maybe our social media guy throw them on the Instagram. I know. I think Orange Slices has them, actually. I think Heath might have been out there, because I know he plays Venice Beach a bit.
Yeah, I think he was out there hanging out. Heath Pierce, former U.S. international co-host of Orange Slices, doing his thing out there. All right. Are there any other orders of business here that we need to get into before we wrap
just
this
a
up?
Heads up, if people were wondering where Nikki Soup and Sausage was, not here tonight with us. Rest in peace, Nikki Soup and Sausage. Not that he's dead.
Sorry. No soup for you. I had to drop that in. No soup for us. No soup
and
Nikki's
salad. Going to be gone for a couple weeks. He's moving. He's got a few things going on. So he's got a lot of stuff, but he'll be with us soon. And so if you're wondering why no phone calls week, maybe a couple weeks.
Yeah, the phone calls may be on hold. The best thing for us is probably just wait for Nikki to come back rather than try to figure out some other...
Yeah, otherwise we go blind. We go blind without knowing what someone wants to talk about. And then you get someone, you're talking about the national team game, and this guy comes on and wants to talk about pro rel. And it's like, come on, guy, not right now.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I'm up for a pro rel discussion. Not all the time. Any old babies to hand out this week? I mean, I don't think we put any on the list.
Newark Red Bulls. Casa, what's his name?
That guy. Clink. Yes.
No, not Klinka. It was the Casimera or so. What was it? I'm blanking what that dude's name is. I'm sorry. You dropped this on me, I wasn't ready.
I dropped this on you. But that's the magic of the show, that I can just drop old babies on you, and then you have to scramble to figure out if there are any old babies.
Dude, I told you, I partied a lot this weekend, dude. I didn't get to watch a lot.
Yeah, I was in Columbus. I didn't get to really dive into all the MLS action. But Orlando, Caceres Jr., that's right.
Yeah, like, Caceres, I did have it kind of right.
Okay, all then I'll hand it out. Let's do it. Fabio. Errol says Fabio. He also scored for the Red Bulls.
Is the guy from the books?
The guy on the cover of the books.
Oh, he's old baby, all right.
Yeah, the Caceres goal came in the 6th minute. The Fabio goal came in the 79th. Turned out to be the winner. As you mentioned,
maybe
Chris scored.
Maybe a preemptive old baby for me in my indoor game tonight. Maybe I'll get a good one.
You're not going to do that. Are you?
I've had two old babies in the last month.
Are you lining up at forward? Is that what's going on? Is that what you're
telling
me?
No, but I've been having to because we've been behind.
Okay, what'd you say?
I've been having to because we've been behind. I see. But every once in a while we get behind, I start going forward.
You're just unleashing them?
I am deadly from like 18 yards, but I am comically bad from 2 yards.
I've
missed
MLS
so many tap-ins.
I know some MLS strikers whose game was very much like that. All right. Any other MLS observations, you guys let us know, and we'll bring them to the table at some point in the very near future. Nashville beat Philadelphia. That's a big one for them. Your boys lost, unfortunately. And
looked good, though. I mean, no Chicharito. Ravelson made his first appearance. I thought they looked actually quite good for most of that game, despite the fact Chicharito wasn't in the game.
You know what? I'll hand out an old baby for a guy that didn't make the Gold Cup roster, who we name-checked earlier. I'll give one to Ricardo Pepi for that header, the diving header. That's a pretty nice goal for a kid.
He's had some good goals all over the lately. I mean, that kid's coming up, and it's unfortunate he didn't get this hot maybe a month earlier and maybe force Berhalter's hand.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he could have been one of those guys that can play wing and
how does Dallas
forward.
Have so much talent but can't win? It's amazing they have so much talent, and it's just all moving overseas, and they can't win.
By the way, in addition to the rumors, we didn't get to rumors. We didn't talk about Ethan Horvath maybe going to Huddersfield Town. I've seen in the chat that somebody says that is not a real thing, that is actually because Ethan Horvath's dad
liked
a tweet
or something.
Yeah, that's what I saw. I will dive more into that. We will dive more into that at some point. I don't know that we want to go full on, but that was the link. Huddersfield Town for Ethan Horvath, which would be championship soccer. They weren't good last year, but they stayed up. Maybe if that's true, if there's any truth to it at all, I think it would be a fine move for him. The other two I want to throw at you real quick. Tanner Tessman to Venezia. Sounds like it's on its way, which would be interesting.
Another Dallas product leaving.
And that's a newly promoted team in Italy. They've got some American connections. If he can thrive there, I don't think they're going to be great. They're going to struggle, obviously, because they're newly promoted. But who knows? Could be a place for him. And an American presence in Italy growing, Jared. Suddenly we're taking over Italy. Who knew? And then the other one is Anthony Robinson. Linked to Manchester City. You said you also saw Wolves. I definitely saw Manchester City.
Yeah, I also saw Wolves. Which one of those teams they have more? I would rather have him at Wolves, to be honest with you.
Like, because of minutes, you think more minutes at Wolves?
Absolutely. I don't want another Zach Steffen kind of thing. And listen, they're talking about like the article I read on was at Sports Illustrated, Freddie Pye over there. And it's for a defensive reinforcement. That's not a defensive reinforcement, Anthony Robinson. You're getting him because you want him to go forward. So I don't know. I don't know that when I look at him, I think of him as Man City level. Maybe. And Man City is notorious for farming players out on loan. They do it all the time.
Sure.
You know, he could end up right back at New York City FC for all we know in a year. You know,
sure. Like,
go to Wolves, play. I think he's good enough for a Wolves level. I mean, he looked good enough for Fulham and spurts. At a better team like Wolves, maybe he can even do more. So I would prefer to see him there.
Okay. All right. We'll see what goes down there. I could see the Manchester City stint being okay. I think he would get a decent amount of cup minutes. I think he would get some Premier League games. Not a lot. I think there would be moments for him to play, and I think he would learn a lot playing under Pep Guardiola. But yeah, I get it. You want a young player like that to play, especially considering the United States, while they have a couple of options at left back, don't have any clear, obvious players behind Sergiño Dest if he's playing on that side instead of on the right side, right? That's the issue.
Yeah, I mean, he could learn from Kyle Walker. That'd be a nice place to learn, person to learn from. But
all right, so I think that's going to do it for us here on this live episode of The Best Soccer Show. Good to be back. If you want to check out the bonus stuff that we do and join the Slack and be part of the Besties beer sharing.
Shout out to the beer night. That Zoom they had went for like 5 or 6 hours drinking beers, watching multiple MLS games. I made 2 appearances, one of them shirtless at a pool party. there was a few seltzers already down the road by that point.
Isn't that worth a couple bucks a month, people? Patreon.com/thebestsoccershow to get in on that. I will say that last week's bonus show, it was an all-timer, and I think you get retro access. So if you sign up now, you can go get last week's bonus show.
I think it was very well received as the best bonus show ever done. I think you almost feel like you shouldn't have said as much as you did on that show.
Oh, there! I may have run up against a line or two.
If there's anything you need to sell for that show, the biggest sell of that show is, A, you get to hear the story of Nicky Soup and Sausage and how his wife met.
Yeah.
And part of that story is finding out what his AOL Instant Messenger name was.
Yes. Yeah.
When they met. And I'm not going to tell you. You have to go listen to that show to find out. But it is amazing.
It's a fantastic. There's that story. There's some other things in there that can't be mentioned. It was a fun one. All right. So patreon.com/thebestsoccershow. Give us a rating and review. I did not check before the show, so I don't know if I have any new ones or not. That's usually Nicky Soup and Salad's job.
We'll let them accumulate until Nick is back.
That's probably a good idea. All right, guys. Thank you very much for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Danger zone!
Duh, and or hello. I wouldn't be caught dead in a sweater vest.
Damn, dog, that's an approach.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Playing hot dogs and donuts with 2 fangirls in the locker room.
And accordingly, you feel respect for the Gegner.
The Sausage King of Chicago.
Nothing for you. Oh, oh, it's incredible.
The horror show.
Jay Rhodius.